I'm psychologist Peggy Mitchell Norwood, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Peg, where all good psychology is God's psychology. For the next 30 minutes, you'll learn practical and effective psychological strategies based on biblical principles to help you to live well.
Hello, listeners. Thank God it's Friday. I'm Dr. Peggy Mitchell Norwood, and welcome to today's episode of Living Well with Dr. Peg. We're coming to you out of Denver, Colorado, and streaming live on the web around the world on www.1220kldc.com. Today, my guest is Minister Kay Franklin, head of the prayer ministry at Colorado Christian Fellowship, and we are discussing the Holy Spirit. We are on the air live today, so to join the conversation, please call us at 303-433-8000. Before I go any further, I do want to thank my sponsors who are supporting this season of Living Well with Dr. Peg. Mike Mondragon of Aurora, Colorado, Jackie Beter, LLC, licensed real estate broker in New York, Milati Burhana Maskell, financial advisor with PD Advisors, Rosalina Blanc at Hair and Now Salon in Aurora, David Dixon, author of Notes to My Daughter, and his books are being carried now in the Tattered Cover bookstores in Denver. Luce Daniels of Keller Williams Realty, Denver Tech Center. Charles Dawes of Let's Start Dancing. Kim Farmer of Denver's Mile High Fitness. Ordained teacher Kay Franklin, head of the CCF Prayer Ministry. Global Change Network USA, an international alliance of ministers. Healing Center Ministries in Parker, Colorado. Ed Houston, your DIY web coach, who provides easy and affordable web coaching. Lene Hutt, owner of Alabaster House. Pierre Laguerre of Warrior Properties, LLC. Love Properties, a father-daughter team renting apartments and single-family homes in the Denver area. Milwaukee psychologist, Dr. Sherry Johnson. Mr. James Pinckney III. Carla Washington Ford in Richmond, Virginia. Donna Westmoreland, a Denver psychotherapist. A Woman's Worth Ministries in Denver, Colorado. Attorney Myra Rosa in Denver, who practices real estate and family law matters. And last but not least, my mom, Ruth Mitchell. Thank you all for your generous support, and I pray that God will richly bless you. This is listener-supported radio, so if you would like to learn how you can become a sponsor of this program or to learn more about my sponsors, please visit my website at www.drpegonline.com. And if you've enjoyed this first season of Living Well with Dr. Peg, please help me to stay on the air in 2012 by making a donation today. Every new sponsor will get a free electronic copy of my book, Do Something Different for a Change, an insider's guide to what your therapist knows but may not tell you. Our topic today is the Holy Spirit, and my guest is Minister Kay Franklin. Kay is an ordained teacher and head of the prayer ministry at Colorado Christian Fellowship, and she's going to give us some information about the Holy Spirit.
And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So last week we discussed who is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I guess two of my favorite roles of the Holy Spirit are as helper and friend.
Absolutely.
That we're never alone, we as believers.
Absolutely.
What are some other important roles that the Holy Spirit plays in the life of a believer? Or some of your favorite roles that the Holy Spirit plays in your life?
Well, you know, I was reflecting on the fact that the Holy Spirit is called our counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's our teacher.
Mm.
And what I wanted to share about him being the counselor is that when I think about a counselor, I think about how when I was in elementary school, we just all did the same thing. But then when you get to junior high school, it's different. You get a counselor. And your counselor helps you pick out classes. And your counselor may visit with you if there's some input from a teacher that needs to be shared, gone over, whatever. And so I just love the fact that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And that the Holy Spirit, because he is our counselor, can direct us and guide us. He's an administrator. So what that means is that as an administrator, he has a high level position, but that he also has someone that he works with. So most of the time in our workplaces, we will there will be administrators and they have someone that they work with or that they report to. And so the administrator does a lot of different things. And so what the Holy Spirit does is the administrator is he provides or he administers gifts. We know that there's gifts of the Holy Spirit. We started talking about that last week.
Last week, we did.
And one of the things that we talked about, I think we ended up with the gift of faith.
Yes.
Because it kind of runs in conjunction with a couple of other gifts, which would be the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. And so besides being the one who actually administers these gifts, as he will, I wanted to talk about something else.
Okay.
Because you're talking about doing something new for a change. Why don't we take a look at Luke chapter 1?
Okay.
It's Christmas, so I think it's appropriate. We could talk about doing something new for a change in looking at Mary as part of this perspective that we speak from. So I want to read chapter 1 of Luke verses 26 through 38, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So in this passage of scripture, Mary received a huge assignment, and it went totally against the culture that she lived in. This was a young girl who was engaged to be married, and here she is carrying the Son of God, asked to carry the Son of God. She did it willingly. She did it willingly. And I like the fact that the scripture says that it's the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be involved in this. And so again, as our counselor and as an administrator, the Holy Spirit is one who gives us assignments that sometimes look so hard and sometimes even impossible, but we know that with God, all things are possible. I really love the fact that I was listening the other day, you know, people are talking about Christmas and giving their perspective on Christmas. And so one of the things that I found out just recently, the name Jesus was a common name in the culture that he was born into. And one of the things that we have to remember as Christians is that God can do something with common people. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to actually go through and accomplish what it is that God has said that we should do.
Amen. So when you say one of your favorite ways to think of the Holy Spirit is as an administrator, the passage you read is a really great example. We get our job description, we get our assignment, we get our new project from our administrator.
Yes.
I think maybe what's a little different here is the Holy Spirit also gives us power, makes power available to us
right.
to carry that out. And
right.
sometimes our administrator gives us, we can say, well, my supervisor told me I need to do this. So that mm-hmm. gives us entree or favor with certain people as we're carrying out the project. So we may get some power through invoking the supervisor's
exactly.
name. And here we see how much more power do we have. It's the power of the Most High
mm-hmm.
that the Holy Spirit imparted upon Mary for this amazing assignment. So,
amen.
Yeah, I love
amen.
What you're saying is if we are looking at doing something different for a change in the new year, the Holy Spirit is the perfect helper and administrator to counsel us, advise us, and give us the power to be able to carry that out.
Amen. Amen. And again, I think that it's like you say, we need to use the Holy Spirit to carry out God's assignments. And so we really do have to have this attitude that Mary had. She was a young girl, but yet she said, may it be done unto mm-hmm. me as you have said. Then the angel left her. I think it's the King James that says, may it be done unto me according to your will.
Yes,
I just
love
that.
And we all do.
Yeah. And you know, we have to have that willingness to do what mm-hmm. God is asking mm-hmm. us to do. Mm-hmm. And we have to think about this young girl, maybe she will motivate us to really think carefully about how willing we are to do what God is asking us to do. Because again, she was young. She wasn't married. So it was kind of like she would stick out like a sore thumb and could have been stoned for people would have thought that she couldn't have been pregnant by God, but that she was pregnant by a man. So in that culture, that would have carried a sentence of death. Mm-hmm. And so here she is, though, despite that, because of her confidence in God, to say, may it be done unto me according to your will.
Amen. Amen. So that we would all have that kind of obedience mm-hmm. and willingness. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think about, you know, you're reading that scripture that is setting up the birth of Jesus Christ, whom we're celebrating
right.
in this season
right.
here in a couple of days. It's Christmas. And I think about just even trying to drive down here to the studio today, the hustle and the bustle and the crowds and the traffic. And I wonder how many people have lost sight of really what it is, who it is that we're celebrating. So when you think about Mary's willingness, I think about in our culture today, how many of us are willing, maybe we'd be willing, but how many of us are even listening to hear our marching orders from the Holy Spirit? What is it that God would have us to do in 2012 that we could say, yes, I'm willing, Lord, according mm-hmm. to your will, when we're just so distracted by all of the hustle and bustle of our culture today? How hard is it for the Holy Spirit to get through to us, do you think, Kay, in today's times?
I think it depends on how well conditioned we are to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if we have been walking with him and if we have been consulting with the Holy Spirit and seeking the Father, seeking the Lord about what it is that he would have us to do. You mentioned the hustle and bustle of the season, and what it reminded me of is that, you know, Sunday we're going to have a wonderful service at Colorado Christian mm-hmm. Fellowship. Starts at 11 o'clock. It's going to be all music, and I just can't wait. It's going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by the time we get to church on Sunday, many people would have already opened their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might be distracted by that gift.
Can't wait to get
somehow.
Back to that big 54-inch yeah. TV they got on the wall,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. It could be the 54-inch TV. It could be the new car. It could be the new mink coat. Or maybe it's not any of those things, and maybe we feel disappointed by that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we have to realize is that the reason why Jesus came was, you know, one of the things was to so that we could be cleansed of our sins, so that we could be healed and delivered, and also for us to have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit is a promise that God made to us so that, you know, as it pertains to the Holy Spirit, there will come a time we can have confidence in the fact that we have eternal life through the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So, you know, speaking of Christmas gifts, what better gift. Jesus Christ left this gift for us for all time for us to have. And the irony of being distracted by our material items back at home or disappointment we didn't get what we really wanted when we already have the most amazing gift in Jesus Christ and that he left us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me just give the number one more time in case there's anybody who's listening and you'd like to call in and ask Kay Franklin a question about the Holy Spirit or to share your testimony about who the Holy Spirit is in your life or even what you're hoping for, what marching orders you're waiting to receive. And you're saying, I'm willing, Lord, for 2012. Give us a call, 303-433-8000. So I think about the economy being what it is today. You're saying if we condition ourselves to listen for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I wonder, you know, the economy can be a distraction, but it could also be an opportunity when you don't have those material items that you're accustomed to. When you don't have that 54-inch TV on the wall to distract you and just lull you into, you know, oblivion.
Yes.
Because you can't afford
yes.
the cable anymore.
Yes.
You know, I know people have had to shut off their cable because of, you know, the economy is so bad. So it's actually a great opportunity to refocus our attention away, perhaps, from these material things that become like opium to the masses, to take a quote and apply it differently, to really tune our ear better, to hear what God is saying. So many people who are jobless, you know, if we're watching the news about unemployment being extended and those kinds of things. There are people who have been out of work for a year or more, and they're probably crying out to God. And if they're not,
Amen.
I'm going to encourage them, they should.
Exactly, they should.
So it may be just a great opportunity to redirect our focus towards God and to hearing what the Holy Spirit will say and how he'll guide us and what direction he'll give us.
Exactly. And you know, when Jesus was on earth, he lived a perfect life. It was sin-free. And the way that Jesus did that was because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we have the same thing available to us. We have the Holy Spirit. And if we would allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to us, if we would get involved with the Holy Spirit, we would receive that counseling that we need in so many cases. And even if your world is fine, you know, still the counsel is always needed. We always need to know which way to go and what it is that we're to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when things are going well in your life, God is always taking us from glory to glory to glory to glory. So to get direction, things are going well. I do have a job. I do have money in the bank. Relationships are great. Okay, Lord, what should I do with all of these blessings? My life is going well. Tell me what to do next. So just as valuable as when you're struggling and suffering.
Yeah, and I believe that the Holy Spirit helps us put all of those things in perspective. Paul says in the book of Galatians that we should live by the Spirit, and then we would not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Mm. And so the Holy Spirit, along with the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we don't get into that excess that so often comes with living a life that's not influenced by the Spirit of God. And so it's really important that, you know, no matter where we are, if we're having a hard time, that's kind of good because, you know, of course, what would happen is that we would see as we tune into the Spirit, as we really dig our heels in getting involved with God, we'll see a harvest. We know that's what God has for us. As we are diligent in seeking him, God is going to show up and God's going to do something. But on the other hand, if we are doing well, we should feel just as much dependence on the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, last week we raised the question, but just didn't have time to get to it, about we talked a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and we started talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I also wanted to hear what else you had to say about how that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are different from the gifts that God gave to men in Ephesians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you had mentioned that last week.
Yeah, we had probably mentioned that the gifts that God gave to men were the office ministry gifts, such as the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist. Also, what God gives through the Holy Spirit is gifts such as the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirits. In addition to that, there's the gift of faith. I think we talked a little bit about the gift of faith, mm-hmm. and we were going to pick up. So I want to put a pin in that, okay. because we want to talk about, can other people have faith for you?
Right. And that's where we left off last mm-hmm. week. You were giving a testimony of a woman who had been praising, kind of just like poured out her heart in praise, not
exactly.
realizing that that was coming from her faith, knowing mm-hmm. she would be healed. She is already mm-hmm. healed by his
exactly.
stripes. And we talked about the gift of faith, that sometimes the gift of faith is not even for ourselves. I don't remember if we talked about this on the air, but I was thinking about this after the
right.
show aired, is the gift of faith might be to exercise for someone else who doesn't have the faith. I can't tell you how many times I've had friends pray for me, and probably people pray for me when I didn't even know it,
uh-huh.
when I was just down and out and discouraged, but they had enough faith
mm.
not only to believe on my behalf, but to pray for me. And let me know they were praying and pray with me. And that made a world of difference. There have been times in my life where I couldn't even open my mouth to pray,
mm-hmm.
that I was
mm-hmm.
just so discouraged. So having friends who care enough about me and have that measure of faith to pray on my behalf is just a priceless gift.
And I'm glad we're talking about that right now, because when you think about the holidays, we think of it as a time where people give and they share and they're happy and they gather with their family and their friends, but not everybody feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so to know that someone is praying for you, and that maybe you don't feel all that versed in prayer, maybe you don't feel all that competent in prayer, but they're, you know, people can pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
People can have the kind of faith that Jesus will respond to on your behalf. So last week, or a couple of weeks ago, because we actually pre-recorded the last teaching or the last program, when we were talking about, can people have faith for you?
Mm-hmm.
Can people believe for you? I've always been fascinated with some scripture out of the second chapter of the book of Mark, because this is scripture that just shows how much we can care for someone else, and how, because of our faith, that Jesus will say, okay,
mm-hmm.
they're healed.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Can I read that?
Yes, I know which
okay.
one you're going to read, and I'm
I love
excited.
It. I love it. So this is Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to him. Some came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith,
mm.
when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So in other words,
yeah.
he healed him
yes.
because of the faith that he saw in
yes.
his friends,
yeah.
in the ones that were
yes.
carrying him.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's why it's so important for us to pray for one another, especially during this season. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind people out there that you might know someone. Think about the people that are, you know, think about your family, think about your friends, think about your coworkers, think about church members that you attend church with, and think about, is there anybody that I need to be praying for because they went through something especially difficult this year? It could have been a job loss, but maybe they lost a parent. Maybe they lost a child. Maybe they lost a spouse, and they really need our prayers right now. This season can be like a really uplifting, happy season,
mm-hmm.
or it could be one where people really need for somebody to reach out and to pray on their behalf so that Jesus can say, your sins are forgiven, or you're whole, you're healed, whatever the case may be. So, you know, a lot of the times we want to focus on the good, but we have to think about those that need our prayers.
Amen.
And we can receive the revelation by the Holy Spirit, the ones that we even need to pray for.
Amen. And there may be people who we don't have access to. They're too far away, or even we don't have the kind of relationship where we even interact with them.
Right.
But we're aware of their need. We're aware of perhaps their pain, or we're aware of their challenges. And we can always pray, regardless of where we are, how far we are separated by distance, or even if we're separated by offense or unforgiveness, we can pray about that as well. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we just have a couple of minutes left, Kay, and I always want to give you an opportunity if there's anything that you're involved with that you want to make our listeners aware of, things that are happening at the church. You're the head of the prayer ministry. So what's ongoing or coming up?
Well, what we've been doing is continuing our Wednesday night prayer meetings at 6:30 in the sanctuary at Colorado Christian Fellowship. Also, you know, we've been going up to Boulder, and so I've been interceding up there on site on Wednesdays as well. But we have a dynamic prayer team that's in the sanctuary on Wednesday nights. If you want to make it up to Boulder, you can do that, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So those are the things that are going on right now.
Okay. Amen. Amen. And before we sign off the air today, Kay, would you please pray for our listeners?
I will. I will. Lord, we just magnify you today. We glorify you and thank you for who you are. You're so wonderful and you are so awesome. And we thank you for this time that we're in where eyes are fixed on Jesus. And Father, I pray that if we are not in the spirit, if we are not in the spirit of thanksgiving and celebration for the gift that you sent in your son, Jesus, I pray that we would be able to change our perspective and change our focus in order to think about him, Lord, and that it won't be just Christmas, but that it will be all year long when we would be in our hearts saying, oh, come, let us adore him. That the things that happen at Christmas time in terms of sharing and the closeness and thinking about God and the gift of God that was given, I pray that it wouldn't just be seasonal, but that it would be all year long. So for anyone out there who needs prayer for maybe they're feeling down during the holidays, Father, give them peace. Lord, just begin to speak to them by your spirit. Speak to their hearts. And I pray, Father, that they would receive joy as they hear your words spoken through the Holy Spirit. And Father, I also just want to give you glory, honor, and praise that this is the end of the year, and we know that Peggy is going off of the air, that her contract is ending soon. But I'm just praying and believing for people to send in donations in order to keep this program on the air so that people will be encouraged to make needed changes in their life. So in Jesus' name, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. You're listening to the anointed voice of Minister Kay Franklin, and I'm Peggy Mitchell Norwood, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And it's not a cliche. Please don't forget the reason for the season, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
You've been listening to Living Well with Dr. Peg. For more information or to contact me, go to www.drpegonline.com or email me at drpeg@hotmail.com.